God bless you. So, we're back on Christian worldview. So, we're talking in this series about a biblical Christian worldview. That is, how should we look at the world? How should we look at life, the universe, and everything? How does stuff work? What should we believe about it? That type of thing. Today, which is part five, is called Body, Soul, and Spirit. And we've said every week that this is our key verse. Be not conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. So this is our aim, and we'll keep coming back to that verse week after week from Romans 12:2. So far, we've said we need to realise that our spectacles might have different coloured glass in them than we thought, and we might carry a cultural bias, which I think we do. I have to say, over the years, I have really been enriched by the many things that Jayam has said to us, and our conversations, our private conversations, and he's opened my eyes to a lot of things with his perspective, having been brought up in India. And I think it's important that we understand that worldview depends on where you are. You know, it's like I watched a YouTube the other day, and there was this guy said, just look out my bedroom. And he opens these blinds, and he's up on the top of a mountain looking out over the valleys, and it's like, takes your breath away. He says, I have to look at that every morning when I get up. And you think, oh, you obviously have a very difficult life. But, you know, our worldview does depend on where we're looking from. And we also have discovered that God is creator, that God is word and spirit, and we've said that God is relational and compassionate. We've said that we are made a new creation so that we can truly image God. And last time we said that God is love, and he doesn't carry a thunderbolt with him. That's Zeus, and don't get the two mixed up. So, today we're going to talk a little bit about a trinity and a trichotomy. Big words. So, Trinity, God is Trinity, his Father, Son, and Spirit. Now, if you ever get into a conversation with a Muslim, they will probably, once they find out you're a Christian, they will probably immediately go for the jugular and say, oh, you don't serve God, you're serving a set of idols. A Father, Son, and Spirit. There's no such thing as God being a Trinity. He's either one or he's three. And you're saying he's three, so he isn't one. And we serve the one God. And they will go on and on about this. They have a script. I mean, I've actually looked over the shoulder of someone that was reading from the script. They do have a script. And they want to get you onto the area they feel that you are weak in. But the truth is, it's ever so easy, because we have one God in three persons, and he's the only character in the whole of the universe that is one in three. And why shouldn't he be unique? He's God. He has a right to be unique, and he is unique, and we should never forget that. So we don't worship three gods at all. We don't just worship Jesus. We don't just worship the Holy Spirit. We don't just worship the Father. We worship one God in three persons. And that's an important part of our outlook. And he experiences the universe he has made in three ways. He experiences it as a Father, as a Son, and as the Spirit. So as Father, or shall we say as parent, he embraces us and wants to protect us. Have you not ever experienced that moment where you just felt that God was stood there that God had just got his arm around you. You know, God just wants to embrace us. Just as with the prodigal son, it says that every day the father went out and stood on the hill looking for the son to return. And why did he do that? Because in those days, if your son ran off with half your money, which is exactly what his son had done, then the whole village would gang up when they saw him next and stone him to death. And his dad wanted to save his son's life. And of course, that's what he did. He saw his son in the distance. He went and embraced him. This is Father God, the God who embraces us, who welcomes us back, even though we maybe haven't been as good as we should have been. As son, Jesus has experienced human life and death. Now listen, we aren't talking about a God who says, oh, I know what you're going through. He's been through it. He understands life because he's lived it. He was pushed out of a virgin's womb. He had every experience that a child had to have. Jesus was not born potty trained. I mean, I don't know what we think, but seriously, how did Jesus know about the scriptures? Because when he was 12 or 13, he spent a year at synagogue school and he was taught that scripture that he stood out and read at Nazareth from Isaiah. And as spirit, he makes the Trinity known to us. Now, one of the main functions of the Holy Spirit is that Jesus said, he will remind you of everything I have told you. Yes. And that's great. The Holy Spirit is here to whisper. Yes, Rod, do you remember? Jesus said this. And Rod can go, yeah, Jesus did say. And you know what? He reminds us when we need to say something to somebody. And he drops it in. And you wonder, don't you, where those words come from sometimes. You think, well, I don't know where that came from. It's the Holy Spirit. And so in all of these ways, God is Trinity and he relates to us. He connects to us. He experiences the universe in three ways, and he wants to experience us in all of those ways. And how special, how wonderful can that be, that God is Trinity. So man is also three parts, and the word for this is a trichotomy. Now, if you thought a trichotomy is where they made a hole here and put a little pipe in so you could breathe, That's a slightly different word, okay? But a trichotomy is three, and it's about three parts. It's about three ways. And for us, we are not three spirits. We are body, flesh, and spirit. And the flesh is often the only part we can think of. When you wake up in the morning and your mouth's a bit dry and you desperately want to have a pee, all you're thinking about is your body. It's true, isn't it? After that, maybe you want to pray. But, you know, those are the things that are pertinent, because our bodies are very, very tangible and real. We experience life in a body, and that body is a reality for us, and everything we experience is through that body. So sometimes we don't pick up on some things we maybe should have done because we are concentrating on our body. Let me give you an example. You've been at work all day and you've had a headache. You get home from work and there's stuff all over the floor. There's tea to make. there's all sorts of things kicking off, and your head is ready to explode. And you know this feeling, don't you? Because we've all been there. But sometimes we should come home full of the grace of Jesus Christ in a very loving manner and be speaking blessings as we come through the door. But you know that very often our body is the loudest voice in our head. Yeah? And there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes we have to learn that the other parts of us matter as well. Anybody remember a guy called Elisha? Who used to pour water on the hands of Elijah? And he goes into the desert with three kings. And they say, is there not a prophet of the Lord we can inquire of? And Ahab has asked this. Jehoshaphat has asked this. But Ahab is the lead king. And Elisha cannot even bear the man. And what does he do? Can anybody tell me what Elisha does? Get me a minstrel. Sorry, that's King James. Get me a musician. And it says, when the musician played, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Elisha. Now, you know, there's something about this other part of us, the soul, which sometimes we call the mind, the intellect, the emotions, the will. It's very much released by music. It really is. And you know this because sometimes all you want to do is put on a little bit of thrash metal or Andre Crouch. Our soul is that part of us which connects emotionally, our soul is a bit different to our body. In fact, our soul can take over sometimes if we let it. But there's the other bit, the spirit. God renews our own spirit and helps us to experience God. So, Elsie,
yes.
Could you pinch me, love?
Where?
Well, I'm offering you my arm. Well, that was all right. She was very kind. You experienced that the reality of me there, didn't you? By you pinch me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
More hair on your arm than your head.
Well. Yeah. Thank you, Elsie. Now my soul is getting all emotional. But how do you really connect with God? It's not by doing this. You know, Peter, James and John and all of these others, they could do that. Because, I mean, John used to lean on Jesus' breast while they were having a meal together. I mean, they could feel him. But we can't. But God renews the spirit inside us when we choose to follow Jesus. I've been reading a book which I'm going to be filming a review on for Pastor's Library this week, which is really questioning how salvation happens. And I've not had any problem with this book because the church I was brought up in, I was told, if you confess Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's all I've ever known. But the man is addressing Protestants and Catholics, both of them, and critiquing their ideas about salvation. And apparently it's caused a real ruckus. There's letters going everywhere. There's people rowing and falling out with each other. Isn't it wonderful what Christians do? And for me, I'm thinking, Well, I don't have a problem with this. I believe that my faith chooses to call Jesus Lord of my life. And yet, for both Anglicans and Reformed people, it's not that straightforward. Catholics, I meant, and Reformed people. And, you know, realistically, when you look, it's really important that we recognise Jesus as Lord. And I want to suggest to you that is the basis of the gospel, in my mind at least. But when you accept Jesus as Lord, he gives his Holy Spirit that your spirit may be renewed. Now, some people say, and this is often due to translation subtleties, they will say, your spirit was dead in trespasses and sins. And then when you come to Jesus, your spirit comes to life. Well, I'm not sure that that is literally what happens, because there are other verses in the New Testament that would give you a different angle. But what really matters is God's spirit renews your spirit. The bit of you that understands God, that bit gets a spark of life breathed into it. And that is how we connect with God. And I think that's very important. That is also sometimes how, by the Holy Spirit, that we can detect wrong spirits. And sometimes that's something that happens. Sometimes we pick up on those sort of things. But whatever we understand, here are three ways that we are, can be described as being in three parts. Now, there is a dichotomy here, in that a dichotomy is two ways, two parts. And some people say your soul and your spirit are one thing. Now, Catriel read to us today from 1 Thessalonians, which I believe was the first few pages of the New Testament that was ever written. There's some argument between Galatians and 1 Thessalonians, but I think the arguments are much stronger that 1 Thessalonians was the first bit in our Bible. And this is what it says. And may your spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sound. May your body be kept sound. I'm praying for your knees. May your soul, your thinking, your mind be kept sound. Some days we have difficult days, and sometimes, you know, stress affects us in different ways. But sometimes we can get a bit confused and messed up. And sometimes if we've had a nasty virus, that can confuse us a bit as well. But in all of these things, the apostle is praying that your soul might be fine. That your soul might be sound. And that your spirit might be sound. Because ultimately, when we stand before God, we'll stand before God in a resurrected body. So not this one. This one's not going to be there. But a fresh body. Some people get all messed up over cremation and burial. And some people say, well, I want to be in the resurrection, so I'm not going to get myself cremated. And N.T. Wright, the great British theologian, I heard him speak on this issue. And he said, well, look, he said, you know me. I don't believe for one moment that this body will stand before God. I will be in a resurrected body. It will be new. And that's good, isn't it? Because we want something new, don't we? Particularly if you're creaking a bit. Yeah? But he said, I was taught when I was young that I shouldn't get cremated unless I was making it harder for God. So I have left word in my will that I've got to be buried. Which was a wonderful compromise, wasn't it? But, you know, I've left word in my will that I should be cremated. And I'll tell you why. Because I don't want my graveside to be a burden to future generations. I really don't. I will be with the Lord. So what you do with this bit of rotting flesh does not really bother me. Now, does that mean I will refuse to bury you at your funeral? Well, of course not. We'll all gather round and we'll sing and we'll dance and we'll... Yeah, we might dance on your grave. Yeah. You know, we will... Whatever it is, I am absolutely fine. But for me, a cremation will suffice. Is that okay? Some people want to be planted under a tree. Well, that's all right. Then you can feed the plants and birds can come and settle on a bit of tree that is recycled your body. That's okay. It's absolutely fine. Spirit, soul, and flesh or body. We are all of these things. The Apostle Paul said it. So personally, I don't go for the dichotomy thing. I like to go for the whole trichotomy. So, spirit. Genesis 2, verse 7. Then the Lord God formed the man out of the dust from the ground and breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and the man became a living being. Spirit is ruach in the Old Testament and is pneuma in the New Testament, Hebrew and Greek. Both mean exactly the same thing. Breath, wind, spirit, all identical. That you could mean anything. You can only interpret the verse by its context. And here we have the Lord God formed the man out of the dust from the ground, and he breathed, he spirited, he blew a wind into him, and the man became a living being. Spirit gives life, yeah? That's an important understanding of spirit. John 3, verse 5, Jesus answered, I assure you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, I have to admit that this verse is, there's a bit of argument about what this should be translated as really. But I think it's simply this. You're born once as your mother's waters break. And you're born a second time by the Spirit. And that second birth, that rebirth, that new you in Christ is a new creation. And that is a wonderful thing. Romans 8 verse 6, for the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. Right, if you have a mindset that you have grown up with in this world, then let me tell you, it's not going to prove very helpful to you and you're going to end up it killing you. Okay? That's my opinion. It's also Paul's opinion. And I also think the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. Now, let me tell you, if you are really messed up, if you're crazy, if it's been a hell of a week, and you just don't know where to go or what's going to happen next, you need to start worshipping God in the Spirit, and you need to allow the Spirit to work in you and refresh you. That is the way peace will come. And we all need a bit of peace, yeah? And we know the Spirit is life because that's where we got it from in the first place, all right? And Romans 8 verse 10, now if Christ is in you, and the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. First question, is Christ in you? Only if we've chosen, only if we've asked him. He doesn't force himself on us. If you have asked Christ to be in you, he is in you. And if Christ is in you, your body is dead. Now, we'll be doing this in 2 weeks today, when we're Sue underneath, hold her underwater, count to 125, lift her up. No, we don't do that. Don't do that. It's in and out. But we do that because baptism is about burial. It's about the old you is dead now. But hang on, I can still feel it. This morning, I trapped my foot under the door. And boy, did I feel this body. It was crying out to me, saying, Stephen, you've been really silly. But the fact is, this body is death, and I'm carrying about a dead body with me. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. Don't worry about your body, because the spirit is life. The spirit brings life. Just be filled with the spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. According to the Spirit, therefore no condemnation now exists for those who are in Christ Jesus. Is that good news?
Yes.
This is the gospel. This is good news. There's no condemnation for Maureen. There's no condemnation for Jayan. There's no condemnation for Libby. There's no combination... There's no condemnation for Paul. There's no condemnation for you lot, because you're in Christ Jesus. Because the Spirit law of life in Christ has set you free from the law of sin and death. Here is the law of sin and death. You have sinned, you will die. That's a law. But here's the Spirit law. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Call Jesus Lord. Believe he's raised from the dead. And the Spirit of God will bring you new life. And you are no longer condemned with your sinful body. That's good, isn't it? It's good. Thank God for that. In order that the law's requirement would be accomplished in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Oh, that's a reminder that we have to walk according to the Spirit. It isn't enough that you came to church one day and you said a prayer and you went out and you felt, I feel like a new man. Which for some of you women, that would be a real challenge. But you walk out thinking, I feel I'm new. And then you never followed it up. You never came back. You never did anything about it. Well, you know, that isn't really it, is it? Because we need to walk according to the Spirit. Walk according to the Spirit. We need to spend time with him. We need to say, Holy Spirit, help me out. Help me how to walk. I remember, it's not that long ago, that we were trying to help Elijah walk. And actually he was an early walker, so that was fine. But, you know, we were all, as a family, we were all having a go with him. Come on, you can walk to me, come on. And you know what it is? It's just an experience. You learn to do it, and it's a bit like riding a bike. You don't forget. Well, hopefully not. I have to say, I am incredibly impressed with Margaret. You know, she's got a whole new cybernetic implant. She's the bionic woman of Foxwood. Yeah, and she's up and she's about. And I mean, what is it, 10 days or something?
Two weeks on Tuesday.
And she's here. Thank God for that. I mean, that's fabulous. What we need to understand is that whether we are dead or alive, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Now look, I saw myself in the mirror this morning. And I'm not absolutely convinced about this, but I am choosing to believe it. I am choosing to believe that whatever I see in the mirror, there is a new creation because the Spirit is involved in it. old things have passed away. Now, I don't want anybody to embarrass themselves this morning, but if you're feeling old, that's okay. Old things have passed away. Everything's new. Everything's new. For little Michael over there, everything's new. You know, he's looking around, it's all new. It's all exciting for them, isn't it? It's wonderful. But for us, everything is new. And we need to learn to live that way with that anticipation. Ephesians 2, and you were dead. This is the position we are in when we meet Christ. We are dead in trespasses and sins. But that you are now the object of the Spirit now working. The Spirit brings renewal. And you know, our age is a worldly age. It's a rubbish world to bring kids into these days, except for the fact we believe that we are the agents of change in this world and we need to do something about it. So dichotomy or trichotomy, what matters is that in Christ, we are all alive. And I want you to just remember this. And when you get home, have a look in the mirror. And whatever you see there, just speak to it and say, you are alive in Christ. And then speak to Christ and just check and say, Jesus, you are still there, aren't you? Talk to me. I want you to know how much I appreciate what you've done. I want you to know how much I appreciate the life that you've given me. I am so grateful. This week I had my annual heart checkup. You heard the other week, it was 8 years since I had that massive heart attack. And thank God, my heart checkup seems to be okay. And I've another year of clues. And it's 8 glorious years of a second chance at life, really. Yeah. I am so blessed. Yeah. You know, my dad was dead at 50. At 58, I had a heart attack. 66, I'm still going. Thank God. I'm not asking you to thank God with me. I'm thanking God that I'm still alive. And my family are quite happy. So that is why we're going to pray, because it's important that we recognize the power of God at work in us. Okay? Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We ask that you would help us to understand you, to understand what a Christian worldview is and how we should react to life and how we should react to your goodness and graciousness to us. We thank you that you are at your work in new creation all over our world right now. We pray that you would help us to be good images of the goodness of God in the land of the living and to accurately represent you to those that are around us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you very much, everybody.